Welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast, which we try to record every week in our University Hall studio. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and back for his annual spring appearance on the show is Brian Fetzer, who oversees the track and field and cross-country teams here. About 85 athletes in all, so the equivalent of a football team, right?
It's the equivalent of a football team.
Nothing says outdoor track and field quite like getting snow in March, does it?
You know what is hysterical is one of our young men this morning who was talking to me about it. He goes, Coach, it was 82 weeks ago. It was 82 weeks ago, and we had 3 inches of snow, and now it's all melted.
It's melting, so you'll be all right. Before we talk about your teams, I want to ask you about Joanne Boyle, who announced this week that she's retiring as women's basketball coach here. You work with Joanne at Cal, mm-hmm. So you've probably known her at least as long as, if not longer, than anybody else here has. What's it been like working with her at two different schools?
I mean, her character as a person is unbelievable. I mean, she's just does things for the right reasons. Obviously, I'm sad that she's, not going to be coaching here anymore just because of the relationship we have and just getting to talk about just life. I mean, she's a Western Pennsylvania woman like myself. And I'm not a woman, but being from Western PA, that connection and stuff. So, she's going to, move on to the next chapter of her life. And, I wish her the best and will continue to stay in touch and things.
Yeah, I think she's going to stay in Charlottesville, she told me, which is great.
That's what she said. So
continue to see her, which will be fantastic.
Yeah, and she's, like I said, her as a person is amazing. I mean, I don't think most people realize what incredible people our basketball programs are at Virginia. When I say, between Tony and Joanne, I mean, that you couldn't find two better individuals from just a personality standpoint. I mean, they're true of who they are, and they genuinely care about the student athletes and the people around them, and they're not, these pretentious, people just because of their positions.
Right. Well, we wish her well, and be interested to see what happens with that program. But as far as track and field, the outdoor season has officially begun. To kind of take a step back at the ACC Indoor Championships last month, your men placed sixth and the women were ninth. I know you came into the winter you didn't expect them to be necessarily championship seasons, but you were not pleased with either finish.
Well, I mean, our women,
you knew the women were going to be significantly weaker indoors than outdoors, right?
There's no question about that. I thought, we had, the women that competed, performed very well. We had some pretty outstanding, individual performances. We just got to continue to learn to take it to the next level and not just be better than what you are, but, press on to be as good as anybody else. Our men, I was definitely disappointed on how we performed. We had some individuals that didn't step up. That's part of the nature of it. It is very difficult. Our sport is so unique and so unlike anything else where you're competing year round. So getting up emotionally constantly is a tough thing, and staying healthy is a tough thing.
Yeah, staying healthy,
is very difficult, and we're built more for outdoors. Mm-hmm. It's just like any team, any sport, if you have a pitcher friendly ballpark, you're in baseball, you're going to build your team towards that. With not having an indoor complex to be able to train on during the entire winter time, it is definitely a disadvantage in certain aspects, but we build our team
for outdoors
and for cross country, and not to shy away from indoors. I mean, we were in the top 20 the last 3 years on the men's side, but I think we're going to continue to get better, and we're going to continue to stay in that time frame. But we're definitely built for what we're getting ready to start.
Last year at the ACC Outdoor Championships, your men finished second.
You're bringing that up already.
If not for some controversy that they might well and probably should have won the meet, your women were eighth. Particularly on the women's side, you have a stronger group than you did a year ago. I mean, it's going to be hard for the men to meet what they did
The men should be able to do the similar of what we did last year. It'll be a nice battle. There's several teams that are right in the mix. The normal teams. The women, we have 9 young ladies that, you know, are NCAA qualifiers or at that level that didn't even compete indoors. That's a massive amount.
And is that because you chose to redshirt them or they didn't have those events? And
both. Yeah. We have several javelin throwers and hammer throwers and, that didn't compete, 10,000 meter runner. You know, so we have that group, but then, you know, we redshirted, our two, top freshman sprint recruits or two top incoming recruits, Angie Knight, who was All-American last year at San Diego State, top returning hurdler, freshman in the country in the 400 hurdles. And then we also, Hallie Hazard, who was the number six junior in the world in the 60 in high school, redshirting both those two indoors, just getting prepared.
Yeah.
My whole thing is that if we're not ready to perform where we need to perform, why not redshirt? Why not, sit out and do things and, get Emma Call, who scored indoors last year. We redshirted her indoors this year to kind of balance things out. And Emily Mulhern will be back, and who is an NCAA qualifier in the 5K.
She's had to deal with injuries. I know,
she did. Right? She's healthy now. She looks great, which is awesome. So, you bring all that influx of individuals back into the mix. And then you had, Kaisha Caldwell, comes over from women's basketball, who, starts the year off and wins her first competition. She jumps in college. So, that in itself, should say a lot. So, the optimism and excitement is definitely there.
There's a new member of your coaching staff, Michelle Freeman, who has quite the resume as a coach and as an athlete. She was a 3-time Olympian, won a bronze medal in Barcelona in 92. You previously coached the sprinters. What does the addition of Michelle mean for the team and for the sprinters, and what does it do for you personally, not kind of being a position coach?
Well,
they
get a better coach, for one thing. Yeah. I would always want to hire somebody that I think is, as good as I am or better. I want to be the stupidest person on staff. It's kind of a joke that I like to say. But, she brings a lot of experience. I like coaching the sprints. I love coaching the hurdles. But it's so much to be a director and to oversee everything and have to coach all those events. It really takes away from the student athletes. And we were, behind the eight ball, since I got here, we were one coach short of what the NCAA, allows, for all that time period. So, to bring her in and to turn the reins loose. I mean, she's fiery. She's competitive. She's very, she wants things done a certain way. So there's been a little bit of adjustment, for some of them. But performances at the championship at ACC's really showed. Our men and women both had some great performances in those event areas. And I think it's something that we can kind of add to, and build on for the future.
In years past, it has not been uncommon for you to add recruits at mid-year, often significant ones. What about this? You mentioned Angie, right? She came in from San Diego State.
Yeah, Angie coming in from San Diego State, and Ava coming in from Croatia. She's a first year. I mean, she's a 63-meter hammer thrower. Long-lasting relationship now with Croatia. I mean, Croatia's definitely right. Having Martin and Philip. She's, the top female that was coming out of the country, to bring her in January. It's, January is a great time for international students coming in January because of the fact that they, there's a less likelihood of the homesicknesses because you're jumping in your competitive season. And, academically, they've performed incredibly. Philip Mihaljevic was a, ACC Scholar Athlete of the Year coming in January. Philip Hilmar, academic, all academic team. Cleo Boyd, ACC Scholar Athlete of the Year. So, a notion at some places and some people think, you're doing them a disservice. But, I think those are three of our best students, coming in January. So I see the same kind of transition with that.
You travel overseas a lot. You were recently in China and Australia recruiting and making contacts. Why are international athletes such an integral part of NCAA track and field, not only here where you've had great success? Is it because of the popularity of the sport? in Europe and elsewhere?
A lot of it is. When we look at our roster, I mean, we're not very international, but those individuals are very good.
Stand out.
They stand out, and they make it look like, you know, we have a team of we're the United Nations, mm-hmm. but we're actually the United States with like a couple others.
Yeah.
But it's at a very high level, and it's, you know, in typically in most of those countries, it's the second or third most popular sport. In some kind, Jamaica, it's the most popular. So, I mean, so, you know, you have, I guess, the reggae boys might argue with me with soccer, but it's the prime sport over there. Where here, I mean, we're not even close,
right?
You know, in terms of popularity. So the best athletes don't necessarily just roll in the track and field. They're, you know, playing basketball or football because they're thinking, you know, going to the NBA or the NFL or, you know, Major League Baseball, and now soccer's, you know, kind of, you know, taking off in the United States. So it's a thing, and I think culturally it brings something totally different. You know, they're coming in kind of focused on a mission. They want to be great in school. They want to be great in athletics. You know, let's roll with it. And I think it's the mission of a university is to learn, is to grow and to, you know, come out a better person. So I think you're bringing somebody in from a different culture with a different mindset that thinks maybe a little bit different. You know, it's helping our student athletes just become better people.
Yeah, broaden their horizons.
Absolutely.
One of those international students is Jordan Scott, who's mm-hmm. a second year now, had a tremendous first year. I know he's dealt with some injury. He wasn't fully healthy at the ACC indoor meet, I don't think. How's his second year going?
No, it's I mean,
he's
going
kind
well.
Of a marked man this year, isn't he, because of what he did last year?
He definitely is, and he's learning. He's kind of going through that stage as an athlete where you have a lot of success, and then you got to sometimes take a couple steps back, take a couple steps forward, mm-hmm. As you learn some things. I mean, Jordan, just this morning we were working on, you know, some stability and some core, you know, areas that he's trying to kind of take some steps forward. He's a great young man. He's a phenomenal student. And, you know, he's barely hitting, you know, where it's at. And he wants to be great.
Yeah.
And that's a different, you know, for a student athlete, there's a lot of them that like to be good, but very few want to be great. And he's definitely, you know, in that mode. And he's going to have a great outdoor season. It's really long. Like I said, think about if you took a football season, and instead of just having spring practice, you had a whole other season on top of that. That's what our kids have to go through. You know, so you're playing a season in the fall and a season in spring. Well, we're going for indoors, and it just kind of extends, you know, out.
Right.
Which is you got to be smart, and we're taking it cautious with him. We take it cautious with all our athletes to figure out what's going to be the best situation for them.
We'll get to your veterans, but you have a number of really talented first years on both teams, don't you? You mentioned Kaisha, and. On the men's side, Brandon Outlaw's run well. Mm-hmm. Alfred Shirley.
Absolutely.
Who are some of the names to kind of remember? And
those are definitely two on the guys' side. We brought in Tucker Rizzi as well in January, a javelin thrower. He's an All-American uh-huh. from William & Mary. He's going to grad school. Tucker, I think, will make some pretty big production for us come springtime. You know, a lot of the first-year guys, other than Brandon and Alfred, are really, you know, we're redshirting in this whole mm-hmm. year. They're distance runners, and it takes a little bit more time to kind of progress and kind of get to the point, at least at the level of where we're at right now, you know, from a distance program on the men's side. But there's definitely a lot of, you know, bright young ones. You usually tend to see, you know, that second, third year is when, you know, they start kind of taking off a little bit more. Sprinters tend to have a little bit more impact early. Mm-hmm. You know, Alfred really wasn't recruited by a ton of people. He's from Oscar Smith, same high school as Alexis Woodley, and actually Grant Holloway, who, you know, basically just won the national championship for Florida. Alfred, same training group, not necessarily the same high school. But Alfred, you know, just looking at him, you know, last year and watching him compete and taking the words from his high school coach, you know, he said great things, and he thought he could, you know, jump in. He was the kind of individual that we wanted in the program, because it's not just about talent, it's about character. And you know, Alfred is learning to grow into his role as a leader. And, you know, he's going to be somebody down the road, too, that is just going to continue to get better. I mean, he opens up his first meet, wins the 400 hurdles down in Miami, you know, runs a great time for the first time running the 400 hurdles. And, you know, excited. And Brandon Hall, you know, Brandon Outlaw making the finals at ACC as a true freshman. You know, Brandon was, you know, was one of the top 400-meter runners in the country last year in high school. So, you know, just trying to add a different dimension to our program that we didn't have in the past.
On the women's side, your throwers have not been as successful as the men, who have been, I mean, fabulous with Phillip and everything. But Brittany Jones is already setting freshman records.
Yes.
You mentioned Eva. Will that program get
absolutely?
Is it better and will it get better?
Absolutely. You know, Jesse Geller's a javelin thrower that's coming in. That she's, you know, she's gonna be able to contribute and help out. You know, and you know, Maria is redshirting from last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was already, you know, NCAA qualifier. So, you know, it's a situation we want to continue to build. We don't want quantity. We want quality. And I think the ones that we added are, you know, high quality. And Brittany's just learning. I mean, they're very young, so they're going to make mistakes. But they have that competitive juices and the competitive fire. And I think, you know, you're just going to continue to see things more and more, you know, from right. both those two.
Let me ask about a couple of veterans. On the women's side, Bridget Guy. I mean, she's she's setting records, right?
Hey, absolutely. I mean, she just opened up and joined the 14-foot club, which in the pole vault, I mean, that's a pretty high, you know, acclaim, and she did it. And I was just – literally her and I were, you know, 20 minutes ago watching film of her attempt at 14-3, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's close. I mean, she, you know, redshirting outdoors last year, you know, and coming back –
because she had an injury, right?
She had a back injury. She's completely healthy. She's excited. She got her confidence back. You know, one of the things that, you know, like I said, we were just talking about is keeping it simple. It was kind of funny. She just said, you know, the three things that Coach Wilson tells me on a regular basis, I finally did at Miami. I started thinking about it a little bit more and, you know, just kept it simple as opposed to trying to worrying about missing and everything else. So she's a great leader, and she's, you know, clearly starting the outdoor season off on the right note.
Right. Then on the men's side, among your throwers, you lost Phillip, you lost Jordan, but you have Pobo back, you have Hilmar back, you have Nace back. I mean, how good is that group potentially this year? Is it going to be hard to top what you did last year?
It's always tough. I mean, you essentially we lost, you know, two of the best throwers, you know, in the NCAA and Phillip and Jordan. But I mean, we're definitely a lot better outdoors. Hilmar is substantially better in the hammer throw. I mean, he, you know, opened up with big throws, you know, to start things off down in Miami. And then, you know, we add the discus to Pobo and Natse.
Uh-huh.
So both of them, you know, can score a lot of points. And then when you add Tucker Rizzi into the mix, you know, with Anthony Baselli, I mean, we don't lose that many more points than what we had in the past.
Have you kept up with Phillip, and what's he doing these days?
He's training. He's over in Qatar right now, at the Spire Institute, training, helping out part of the deal he has over there.
Right.
I mean, looks great. Continues to get bigger, and you know he's you know he's you know great, and Jordan Young still trains here and stuff. And Jordan, you know, I laugh when I think about, you know, if we had Jordan throwing the shot put last year, had been kind of crazy. We could have probably had three in the top four at Nationals. But he looks great, too. Fun, great to have him around.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, tell us about the April schedule in particular. You're here for three. I don't know how many weekends there are, if there are four or five. You're here for three weekends meets here. One is a quad meet, right, and then the other
We open up with Maryland, Georgetown, and Bucknell, which will be a nice start of the season, a little bit later in the day than what it normally is. We have our big kids clinic that morning,
mm-hmm.
which has become a fun time. We have about 100 kids come over, and our athletes put that clinic on for them as kind of a way to give it back to the community. But that's a great start. And then, you know, after that, we have our two big meets. You know, the Virginia Challenge is definitely developed in one of the premier meets in the country. In all event areas. And, you know, we're excited about that. That's always an incredible time, the 20th and 21st.
Right.
And then the weekend after that, we've kind of, we've added this Virginia Grand Prix, and it's, doesn't necessarily have all the, you know, all the events, but, you know, Syracuse, NC State, North Carolina have all, you know, decided to come, you know, so it's going to be kind of a little bit of an ACC meet, and, you know, it's exciting. I mean, our, we get great crowds.
Right.
At the meets, and you know, our athletes love competing here because it's, you know, you travel all indoor season, and then pretty much so most of your outdoor season is at home.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, and you know, they get to sleep in their own beds and eat their own food, and a little bit less wear and tear in traveling.
Yeah. Well, we know that the warm weather will get here eventually,
oh,
so
God.
It should be here by April. It should be here for those meets.
Hopefully,
so let's
next
hope
week.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen. Thanks again for your
absolutely.
Time. As always, good luck. Good luck outdoors.
I appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Well, visit virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all our teams. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another podcast.